Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless till we fool. Me a running out of blessings already in the
pool.
Me a dead, dead,
dead.
Imagine cause I'm tossing out the cup of a rope. I want to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. Hey, I'm too blessed to be blessed. Too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed.
Praise the Lord. And welcome to Vision. My name is Evangelist Faith Reed. Thank you for tuning in. We have been studying trusting God in the midst of trouble. Trusting God in the midst of trouble. And under that subheading, we have been discussing things like prayer and healing and basically understanding that God has already made a way for you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. We bless you again, Lord, for this time of fellowship, God, that we are able to study the Word of God together. Lord, I pray that you would open up our understanding, Lord God. Bless those that are listening. Bless those, Lord God, that will hear this Word. We pray, O God, that you would truly help us to draw near to you, O God. The enemy seeks to sift us like wheat, but Lord God, we thank you that you have allowed us to maintain our stand, O God, and our position in you. And Lord God, I pray that you will continue to uphold us, to strengthen us. And Father, O God, shine on us, Lord God. Show forth your love, God, your peace, and your comfort, God. Comfort our hearts, comfort our minds, O God. And help us in the midst of everything to still have faith in you, O God. Lord, we just give you praise, glory, and thanks to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Tonight, we're going to continue studying in the Word of God. If we could use a subtopic below the one that we have been using, which is having faith in the midst of trouble, it would be a mixture tonight of draw near to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I want to look at several scriptures tonight, but first I want to read a psalm of comfort to you, a favorite psalm of mine. And if you listen to any of my teachings, you will find that I love the psalms, but one of my favorite psalms is a psalm of encouragement. It is Psalm 23, something that you probably already have memorized. The Word of God declares in Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23 is a very comforting psalm because it reminds us that although there might be times that we do not see that there is a cause for shelter and for hope around us, we are reminded that the Lord is our shepherd and we don't have to want. That means we don't have to worry about our needs being met because God has already supplied all our needs. The Bible says he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, in ancient times and also in modern times, in some rural areas, green pastures is a very important thing because if you have cattle, sheep, or what have you, you need green pastures in order for them to eat. And if your land is all dried up and there is no green pastures for the sheep to be able to eat, you know, for the cattle to be able to roam freely and eat, then you will have a problem on your hand because we have a food chain where the animals eat the green grass and, you know, we eat the animals, et cetera, et cetera. There's a process that God has put in place for the animals to be able to eat. And so when we request of God to allow us to lie down in green pastures, what we're saying is, God, I thank you that you are going to bring me to a place of provision. I thank you that every need that I have will be met because you're going to make sure that they are met. It was very important, as I mentioned before, for the animals to have a pasture where they could eat. We know this for a fact because in the book of Genesis, when Abraham and Lot, when they were sharing the land and their animals became, you know, much, you know, they had children and their children had children and what have you, they ended up with a lot of cattle. Lot had a lot of cattle and Abraham had a lot of cattle. And we find that they were running out of places for their animals to graze. And so eventually Abraham and Lot had to part company because their men were starting to fight about the fact that they had run out of places for the animals to graze. And so we know that it is very important to have places where there are green pastures. God uses some simple things to get the point across to us, for us to understand that just the way he can take care of the cattle and the sheep and those animals, he can much more take care of us. And so we must remember to put our trust in God because God is meeting every need that we have. The Bible says he leadeth me beside the still waters. Still waters have a very calming effect. And we know that it has a calming effect because back in Victorian times, people would send their relatives away to the sea whenever they were sick. They would send them to sit by the seaside and to get some of that fresh, you know, salt water, and they would recover from sitting by the seaside and just relaxing. Many times people come to sunny Florida to go on our lovely beaches, or people go over to the Caribbean to go on the beaches and what have you. Water has a very calming effect. And in addition to that, people buy fountains and they put it into their homes and they plug it in and they turn it on and they listen to the running water. So we know that water has a very calming effect. God says to us that just like the waters are very calming, he will lead us to these still waters. In other words, he can calm our situation. Doesn't matter how tumultuous it looks or how the sea around us looks rough and the storms around us look rough, God is able to calm our situation. He is able to bring us into a place of rest. The Bible says in verse 3, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restored my soul. I don't know about you, my friend, but many times I need God to restore my soul. There are times when I myself might get a little discouraged or, you know, what have you. perhaps things are not going the way that I think they should, and I might get to the point where I just need to sit in the presence of God, and I just need to say, Lord, I need you to restore my soul. In other words, I need you to refresh me. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to uplift me. There's a calm that I need in my spirit, and there's a place of rest that I need to go to, and I'm asking you, Lord, to touch me, to strengthen me, to help me, to restore that peace that I once had. There are times in our life when we allow circumstances and situations to ruffle us and to cause us to lose that peace, and we have to say, Lord, restore that. Help me to not allow the cares of this world to ruffle me, but allow me to stay in that perfect peace and that perfect rest that you have given me. The Bible says he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, God leads me on his path because of himself, because I was made to worship him. You were made to worship him. And so he leads us on that path of righteousness for his name's sake. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We go through some difficult times in our lives. Sometimes we walk through such difficult times that we think that, you know, perhaps we're not going to make it through this difficult time because it is just so challenging. And it seems as if that we would be overcome by whatever the situation is. But God reminds us over and over and over again that although we walk through this valley, we are just walking through. And I believe that's the operative word. The operative word is the word through. In other words, I'm not stopping. You know, I'm not stopping and putting down a house in the middle of the valley. I'm not trying to build a mansion in the middle of the valley. I'm not trying to put down roots in the middle of the valley. But what I'm actually doing is passing through this situation. And so where the situation would overwhelm me, I'm not worried about being overwhelmed because I trust God that he is taking me through this difficult time. I trust God that he is helping me to recoup my losses. I trust God that he is giving me extra special strength to get through this. I'm not stopping here. I'm just passing through. You see, what happens, my friend, is sometimes we get stuck in that rut. We find ourselves in a situation where things are not going well, and rather than understanding that this is just a season, this is just a season that we're passing through where we must face these particular challenges, we get overwhelmed by the particular challenges and we get stuck there. And God never wants us to get stuck in something negative, but he always wants us to look at the positive in every situation. In other words, I must flip that situation to my advantage. Whatever the devil meant for my harm, I'm going to flip it around for my good, because I know that God has called me and ordained me to do great and exceedingly abundant things for him, and I will not allow the enemy to stop me in my tracks and to get me to build my house in the middle of a valley. God never called me to stay in that valley, but he called me to walk through that valley. And so I'm walking through that valley right now, trusting God that I'm going to go over. If I can't get over, then I'm going to go under. If I can't go under, then I'm going to go around. But somehow, some way, I'm going to get through this difficulty, because God says that I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And see, death looks you in the face, but it's only a shadow of it. It is not death itself. In other words, sometimes your circumstance can seem so difficult that it seems like you're dealing with death itself, but the Bible didn't say you're dealing with death itself. The Bible says you're dealing with the shadow of death. And so God is able to bring you through what seems like an impossible situation. What seems impossible to man is not impossible. possible to God. My friend, I encourage you to hold on a little while longer. I encourage you to understand this, that God is allowing you to go through your situation for a reason. But don't worry about it, because you're coming through this with your hands raised high, still praising God, still victorious, still blessing Him, because God is still God on His throne. He still has everything in His hands. He still has everything under control, and there is nothing too hard for God to do. Give Him praise in your heart. Give Him praise in your life, and never allow the enemy to stop you or to block you. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at verse 4. Continuing on with verse 4, I'm in Psalms 23 in the middle of verse 4. It says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I will fear no evil. We spend too much time, my friend, in fear of the inevitable. In other words, we fear things that we don't even know if they're going to come to pass. So we don't even know if it's going to happen, but we fear it. We spend so much time in fear that we forget to trust God. Stop fearing things that haven't even happened yet, and just trust God that everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be all right. The Bible says, "For thou art with me." So why shouldn't I fear? Because I know that God is with me. A simple answer. I should not fear because God is with me and God is already working this thing out for me. My friend, what seems impossible is not impossible. God is already working it out for you. He said that His rod and His staff, they comfort. They comfort. So God has His rod, He has His staff that He uses to draw me back in when I need drawing back in, that He needs to correct me when I need correction. God has His rod and His staff to correct and to pull back. In other words, when He sees that you have strayed too far to the right or to the left, He pulls you back in and He says, my daughter, my son, be encouraged that everything's going to be all right. I do not want you straying so far over to the right or so far over to the left. I want you to keep yourself in order because I am a God of order. Look at verse 5. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So God prepares a table before me in the midst of my enemies. So when your enemies come to do whatever they try to do against you, don't worry, because God is already taking care of you. He says He anoints your head with oil. He is taking care of your business. Don't worry. Smile. Be uplifted. Be encouraged, because God already has everything in His hands. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. God has good things in store for you, my friend. God has great things in store for you. He said goodness and mercy. In other words, He can show mercy on you. He can help you. He can guide you. He can put your steps just where they need to be. I don't know if you've ever watched any of those movies, the old Crocodile Dundee movies, or, you know, the other new guy, I can't even remember his name right now, but he has all these adventures where, you know, he goes looking for all these treasures, and he has to step in the right place, and he might step on one thing, and it's a rock, and the next thing he steps on, it might be a crocodile, but he's constantly running from ghosts and different things, and what you find with that movie is that for some reason this guy always steps in the right place and always gets through these adventures safe and unharmed. And, you know, a lot of people die around him, but he's the star of the movie, so he never dies. I just want to submit to you, my friend, that, You know, you are the star as far as God is concerned, that he is going to make sure that wherever you place your feet, that it's going to be a solid foundation, because Jesus Christ is your solid foundation. And if you put your trust in Jesus, he is that solid foundation that you need to make it. And I just want you to understand that God is waiting for you to put your trust in him and for you to acknowledge that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in your life, and that if you would just trust him with everything, you will see that everything is going to be all right. I love Psalms 23 because every time I read it, I get comfort in knowing that God is still watching over me. He is still watching over my family, and he's still helping me. And I want you to know, friend, that he is watching over your family also. The scripture that I quoted earlier was James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What we need in our lives is to submit ourselves to God. We submit ourselves to so many different things. You know, people submit themselves to their bosses on the job, as they should. They submit themselves to government and different entities. They submit themselves to their boyfriends or their husbands. They submit themselves to their wives. You know, there are different things and different people that people submit themselves to. Some people join clubs that they submit themselves to the rules of that club. And that's all well and good to submit ourselves to the natural things on this earth. But above all of that, above submitting ourselves to each other as human beings on this earth, God wants us most of all to submit our lives to him, because he created us as his servants. He created us as his children, and he wants us to surrender our lives to him. I propose to you, my friend, that if you would submit yourself to God, you will find that some of the challenges that you face will not be so difficult for you to handle, because you would have learned how to allow God to live in and through you. God wants you to submit yourself to him. It says first, there's a part A and a part B to verse 7, because part A says submit yourself to God, and part B says resist the devil and he will flee from you. So in other words, to get authority to resist the devil, you must first submit yourself to God. Because if you don't submit yourself to God, if you don't understand who God is and understand what he can do in your life, you will never understand how to resist the devil. You will never understand how to resist the temptations of the flesh and the things of the world that will cause you to sin against God. You cannot do one without the other. In other words, to have authority to resist the devil, to step on the devil, you've got to be first willing to submit yourself to God. Verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I'm using the King James Version. Nigh means near, N-I-G-H. It means near. I am drawing near to God and he draws near to me. So if I want God to draw near to me, I've got to be willing to submit my heart to him and allow him to draw near to me, because God is not going to force me. He's not going to hit me over my head. He's not going to drag me. He's not going to say, oh, you must come. He is going to say, you know what? I've given you the word of God. I've given you churches. I've given you preachers. I've given you teachers. I've given you all these people who love the Word of God and who love to share the Word of God with you. And it is up to you to come to God. It is up to you to surrender your life to God. It is up to you to surrender your talents to God. And He does not force anyone to come, but those who are called by His name, those who were chosen from the very beginning of time, those people will come because they already have the imprint in their hearts. They understand that they were made to serve God. And so all those who are willing will come to God. He says, draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. You know, this is an interesting statement when it says cleanse your hands. It says cleanse your hands first and foremost because in order to go into the temple to worship, to make sacrifice or anything, one of the rituals was that they had to, you know, wash their hands and wash their feet and different things. There were rituals that they had to do. And so when the terminology cleanse your hands is used in the Bible, those who read it at that time understood exactly what God was saying to them. If you want to come before God, you must first cleanse yourself. In other words, you must first make up your mind that you want to serve God. You must make up your mind that you want to turn away from the things that are not pleasing to God. It says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, stop pretending to be a Christian when you are not. Stop pretending to love people when you do not. Stop pretending to feel, you know, say that you're sorry when you're really not. Ask God to really come into your heart. Ask Him to really forgive you of your sins. And ask Him to help you to stop being double-minded. Help Him to ask Him to help you to focus your attention on really worshiping Him and really serving Him, and He will. Because the Bible does say in another place that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't be double-minded. God wants you to be stable. God wants you to be victorious. God wants you to resist the devil and let him flee from you. You see, sometimes we entertain the things of the world. You know, people come around us with alcohol and we sit there and laugh and talk with them instead of letting them know that, you know, you're a Christian and you really would prefer if they didn't drink around you. Or you're a Christian and you would prefer if they didn't smoke around you or if they didn't use that type of foul language around you. We actually entertain the things of the world, and so the people lose respect for us as Christians and feel that they can act and do what they want around us, where we should be letting them know that this is my standard of living, and please, when you come around me, please do not engage in such things, because I need to feel the presence of God in my house. And so these are the type of things that you just cannot bring into my house and you just cannot do. The bottom line is that we must have a standard of living for our life. And if we have a standard, then others will know it and they will see it. Even without us opening our mouth, they will see that we are Christians. Because the Bible says we shall know them by their fruit. I want to encourage you to pray, my friend, and I want to encourage you to understand that God is able and ready to help you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I want to share with you an excerpt as we go into our healing lesson for tonight. I want to share with you prayer secrets from Kenneth E. Hagin's book, which is entitled Prayer Secrets, and this is just a reading from his book. He says, I remember reading about Dr. Charles Price. Someone had phoned him and asked him to come to the hospital. He ordinarily did not go because of lack of time, but the person calling had been close to him in days past, and so he agreed to go. This woman had been converted under his ministry. When he arrived, he found that she was dying of cancer. The doctor came while he was there, so Dr. Price told the woman that he would go home and pray for her. The doctor told him that it would be just a short while before she would die. The doctor thought it would be a good idea to pray because it would soothe her nerves. But Dr. Price told him that he wasn't going to pray for her so that her nerves would be soothed. He said that he was going to pray that God would heal her. The doctor looked astonished. He knew that it just couldn't be so. But Dr. Price did pray for her, and she was healed. He was praying for results. I want to encourage you tonight, my friend, to pray for results. In other words, when you begin to pray and you ask God to help you to resist the devil, to resist temptation, to resist the urge to go back and do some things that you know that God is not calling you to do, remember that when you pray and ask God for strength, you must pray for results. You must understand that when you pray, you must pray in faith, believing that God has already answered your prayer and that things are going to work out well for you. When Dr. Price went to the hospital to pray for this woman, the doctors had already, you know, told him that the woman was dying. You know, the doctor just thought he was going to say his last goodbyes to her. And, you know, most of us, that's what we would have done, you know. But apparently, this doctor, Charles Price, he just believed that God was able to heal. How many of you still believe in divine healing? I'm telling you, today, tonight, this very hour, that God is still in the healing business. He is still able to answer the prayers of those who pray and ask God to heal them and to deliver them. Another story is told of P.C. Nelson, who was a minister. He was run over by an automobile, and the doctor said that he would lose his limb, but he was healed. He then held healing meetings across the nation for different churches. Nelson was holding a meeting for the Baptists, and he was praying for the sick. A man who was pastor of another Baptist church in Arkansas and had gone to seminary with Nelson heard that he was holding these services. This man attended and was very much opposed. He talked about Nelson at home, and his family decided to go to the services. He took them along, and his mother, who was living with them. The next morning, they were talking about the service at breakfast. The Baptist pastor didn't think it was right to pray for someone publicly, but his mother said that she wouldn't criticize Nelson. Finally, their youngest child, who was about 5 years old, spoke up. He said that the only difference he could see was that his daddy prayed for folks on Sunday morning, saying, "Lord, bless the sick," while not really expecting anything to happen. Nelson prayed as if he expected God to heal them right then. This caused the minister to stop thinking. He decided to cooperate with the meetings. He also saw that he ought to pray for results. There is no use praying if you are not praying for results. God does hear and answer prayers. He wants to hear and answer your prayer. God did not pull all these statements in the Bible about prayer just to fill up space. They are there for our benefit. I'll remind you again what Isaiah 43, verse 25 and 26 says. I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified, and remember that he said that by his stripes we are healed. My friend, can you imagine that a five-year-old had to tell his pastor dad that his dad did not pray for results when the other guy did? Can you imagine having to be corrected by a five-year-old who's going to tell you that you need to start praying as if you're praying for results? Out of the mouth of babes, we hear truth. When you're praying, pray as if you expect God to answer. Pray as if you expect results. Resist the devil, my friend, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Matthew chapter 8, if we can conclude our study tonight with Matthew chapter 8, finishing up Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 34, the Bible says, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And so Jesus had just gotten into this city called the Gergesenes. And the Bible says there were two men there. And he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And so these two were possessed with devils, and nobody could pass by there because they were so fierce. Can you imagine two people, and they had the road totally blocked that nobody could pass by there? People were afraid of them because they were so fierce. The devils had gotten into them so much that they had become like animals. And so nobody could get by there. And the Bible says in verse 29, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? You see, even the devils knew who Jesus was. And so they cried out and said, did you come to torment us? Because they recognized that he was God. My friend, do you know that Jesus is Lord? Even the enemy, even Satan himself knows who Jesus is. Verse 30, it says, and there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. So they knew that they had to get out of those men. And so they said, if we have to go, let us go into the pigs over there. And Jesus just said one word, go. So in verse 32 says, and he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Now, a lot of people have used this scripture to say, don't eat pork. And I don't agree with them. If you choose not to eat pork, then that's because you don't want to eat pork, and that's fine too, because pork is not that healthy for you if you're trying to cut down on your cholesterol and all of that type of stuff. But do not use this scripture to tell people not to eat pork, because what the Bible says is that the devils went into that group of swine, that group of pigs, and that they went into the water and died. That group of pigs that the devils went into the water and died. And so you cannot use this particular scripture to tell people not to eat pork. If you choose not to eat pork because you're using the Levitical laws or what have you, not to eat pork, then that's fine. You know, but do not tell someone else that they can't eat it just because you misunderstood the scripture. The scripture did not say that all pigs were cursed and that they all had devils. What it says is that this particular group of pigs went into the water, and that the devils went into those pigs, and those pigs went into the water and drowned. Amen. And so verse 32 says, and they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befalling to the possessed of the devils. Now, if those were your pigs and that was your livelihood, you probably would have been upset that your pigs went into the water and drowned, because now you have no pigs and that was your livelihood. But these owners of these pigs were so excited that were possessed with the devils were delivered. They didn't even think about their pigs that were just drowned. They ran to tell the good news that somebody had been delivered. Somebody who had been bound had been set free. My friend, you ought to stop looking back in the past, what could have been, should have been, what you lost years ago, and start looking into the future and get excited about somebody who has been set free, somebody who has been delivered, somebody who's about to be delivered, somebody who's about to be saved, somebody who's about to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to get excited about the great things that God is about to do in your own life. We get too mixed up and settled on the past, and we keep looking behind us and keep lamenting the past and keep lamenting what could have been and should have been. Stop looking behind you and start looking into your future, because God has great things in store for you. Give God some praise right now, because God already has some wonderful things set up in your future, and He is about to do some marvelous things. Miracles are going to happen in your life. If you would just start believing God, you will see that everything is going to work out just for you. Be strengthened tonight, my friend. Be encouraged tonight, my friend, because God knows what He is doing. It is not an accident that you have encountered this teaching. It is no accident that you're listening to my voice. God knew that you would be listening, and be encouraged in knowing that He has great things in store for you. Verse 34, if we finish it up, and it says, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw Him, they besought Him that He would depart out of their coast. They were so afraid of the power and the might of Jesus that He had such authority over devils that they said, could you please leave? Because they were superstitious, they were afraid, and they were afraid of the authority that Jesus had. Now, isn't it something that rather than embracing the power of God, sometimes people get afraid and they run in the opposite direction? This is what this entire city was doing. They were afraid of the power and the might of Jesus. And so they asked Him if He could leave their city. Isn't it something when God has done such great things for us in the past that we forget and we walk away from Him rather than running towards Him? My friend, God does not want you to walk away from Him, but He wants you to run towards Him because He has great things in store for you. Right now, I want us to pray, and I want you to understand how much God loves you, how much He cares about you, and as usual, I want to share our theme scripture with you. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if I could leave our closing words with you, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. My friend, do you believe tonight that God is able to help you to achieve all your dreams? God is with you. He has always been with you. He has never left you nor forsaken you. And if you would just hold on a little while longer, you will see that God has and is already working things out for you. God bless you, my friend. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you, Lord God, for all those that will hear this broadcast. I thank you, Lord God, for all those that will be encouraged and strengthened. I pray, oh God, that you would touch once again. Touch the mother and the father. Touch, oh God, the sisters and the brothers and the cousins. Aunts and uncles, oh God, grandparents. Lord God, loved ones, nieces and nephews, oh God, God's sons and daughters and, Lord God, family members that we have not seen in years. Lord God, remember them. Oh, God, remember loved ones all over the world, oh, God, in nations big and small. Remember them, oh, God. Encourage them. Lord, we pray for those that are homeless, oh, God, that you would help them to find a home. We pray for those that are hungry around the world, oh God, that you would provide food for them. Lord God, we pray for those that are on drugs, that are addicted to all manner of things, God, that you would deliver them right now. We speak, Lord God, deliverance over their lives right now. God, we speak, oh God, over the lives of those that are sick, oh God. Lord God, we pray that you would heal all manner of sicknesses right now. We thank you, Lord God, as we speak once again, Lord God, for those that are afflicted with all forms of cancer, God. Lord, cataracts, oh God. Lord God, we pray that you would touch right now, oh God, those that are sick with prostate cancer and anal cancer and throat cancer. We speak directly, oh God, over the lives of those people right now. And we curse, oh God, all manner of sickness in the name of Jesus, mental and emotional illnesses in the name of Jesus. We speak against it right now, God. We thank you for complete healing and deliverance, oh God, over the lives of your people. Lord God, I thank you for those that are being called into missionary work right now, those that are called as evangelists and pastors and teachers. Oh God, we pray that you would truly anoint them. Use them for your glory and your honor, oh God. Lord, we pray for special strength, oh God, for, Lord God, Christians in countries, oh God, that are persecuting Christians right now. We pray, oh God, that you would strengthen, give strength, oh God, to those that are rulers over nations, oh God, our president, oh God. And Lord God, we pray for mothers and fathers everywhere, God, for family members everywhere, God, husbands and wives, oh God. We pray that you would encourage them, strengthen them, keep them in the palm of your hands, oh God. And, Lord God, we pray for the restoration of families, oh God. And, Father, we say thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, dear friend. I thank you for studying with me tonight. I pray that you will be blessed as we continue serving God. There is a song that I love. And, of course, you know I've been playing a lot of the Caribbean version of these songs. But it is a song that says, Coming Home, Second Chance Ministries.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The past has been too long.
Dijon, and it says, He is Lord. Very upbeat song, He is Lord.
Starting to show up on my face. My parents divorced, and then my father moved away. He told me be strong as the tears ran down my face. I'm about to go down. Thank you.
Want you to hear one more. Hold on.
Hold on, my brother. Hold on and don't let go. Go ahead. Hold on and don't you let go. Hold on and never give up. Hold on and don't you let go. Lord, you'll
man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector.